Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary, and I just went to my first wedding since 2019, I guess.
You go to so many more weddings than me.
Just in general?
Yeah, I think it's either because you're more mature or you have more friends than me or both.
Well, I went to a lot of weddings in my previous life, meaning up until recently, I dated exclusively men in their 30s.
Oh,
actually,
true.
I currently am still doing that, but I've always dated people who are older.
But now you're like close to your 30s, not 20, as you once were, dating a man in his 30s.
Yeah, so I had to like go to a lot of weddings with them. I love weddings so much.
Me too.
I've only been to like two that I didn't like, and I went to this one because it was fully vaccinated. Not only were vaccinations required, but they also had a testing station at the welcome party, which if you didn't get to go to the welcome party, they sent you your test at home. Everyone did antigen tests. Everything was outdoors completely. And it just was so, the fact that they did all of that was like amazing because it just allowed us all to have so much fun just knowing that like everything was safe. So that was like amazing. And also, grown men crying in general.
You guys, I'm not even saying this as a bit. Watching grown men cry makes me so horny. And it's like, I don't even know them, but I want to console them.
It's really something to marvel at. And also this wedding, there were many journalists there. So the speeches were truly incredible. Just like people who know how to tell a good story, giving toasts. Yes, please. Also, I met this woman who I was...
Diane Sawyer.
So I met this woman, and at first I was taken with her, and I loved her blonde bob, and then I realized she's the woman who contributed to the downward spiral of Britney Spears, and so then I did punch her in the face. No, I'm just kidding. I met this other woman who is not Diane Sawyer, and she just was so cool. Like, the first small... So, obviously, like, these types of things, you end up having a lot of small talk conversations, but luckily this group was like really fun and most of the conversations were really exciting. But this one conversation made me really nervous because she was so cool and funny that I just immediately wanted to be her friend. And then I got really nervous because I wanted to be cool. And I was like, okay, fuck, small talk is so hard. Like, how the fuck do I make this sound interesting?
It's
like,
it's so
trying
painful
to ask questions. And so at one point we're just like standing there, this moment of awkward silence. And all I can think is like, okay, her and her like fiance just want to get away from me right now. They're like, this girl's boring. Like, cool. Like, why is this boring girl here? So I just go.
You realize you were saying that out loud.
Yes. And then I turn around and no one was there but me. And I was talking to myself in the mirror and I actually hadn't even gone to the wedding yet. It was a dream. No, it was awkward silence for a few seconds. And I said, my mom rescues ponies.
Good
my
start.
Mom. She has a pony named Pancake and then a pony named Ernest because he's really earnest. And they were like, okay. And they asked like a follow-up question. Then a song came on and I escaped. Also, later, like thinking back, I realized that I had said in that conversation that I think Yeah by Usher is a good wedding song. And it's like, I don't know what that says about me. And like, I don't know, just Usher now, he's like in the news because he's in this activist show. And I was like, I don't want to align myself with Usher and just... I don't know. I don't know. I think Chris Brown also has a verse on Yeah. I don't know. Just why did I say that? Anyway, these are the things I've been thinking about. But in short, I want to say that I love people's love. I love going to events about other people's love, even if I don't know them that well, and just hearing stories about how they love each other. It really rubs me the right way, I'll say.
I love weddings. They truly do rub me the right way. I have been to weddings where I don't think I was wanted and I still had a really good time.
Yes. The point is to make yourself not wanted because, no, I think like the ultimate goal I always have is to have someone I don't know on the dance floor like gesture or react and say like, yeah, she's got something going. And that did happen to me when I was dancing to Footloose at this wedding where this woman said, I love your style. And I was like, okay, this is heaven.
Well, that's how Dorinda Medley and Luann de Lesseps met, was on the dance floor at a bar mitzvah where they said... They said that they were both just broads dancing. They were both dancing a lot and they loved it.
Okay. Dorinda's whole life changed at a bar mitzvah. How many of us can say that? Probably a lot of us.
Well, people become men and women become girls. I mean, backwards.
First of all, we get periods. Then second of all, we get Benjamin buttoned at bar mitzvahs. Great. Thanks. Do I want to go back to being a fucking preteen? No, bitch. Do I want to go back to before my nose job? No.
Well, I hope you hear the love when I say this, which is that I think that people have such a stigma with plastic surgery that people assume that you were just as beautiful pre-nose job.
I wasn't.
And my mom loves you so much. And I think Googled you to try to see what you looked like with
most people do
pre-nose job, as anyone with a working mind should.
As anyone should.
And my mom was like, oh,
yeah. It is that. It's not like, really? She didn't have to do that. It's like, oh, okay. It was a different life experience. Okay, so she was having a different life experience.
Well, because it's not bratty when it's like, this will greatly impact all areas of your life.
You know what? This will open doors, kid. This will open doors. That's what the doctor said. He said, doors are going to swing right open to you. And I'm like, really? Because usually they swing in my face when the boys in my school literally didn't even know my first name. And they're like walking into the classroom and the door hits me on the way out. I also was thinking, okay, this is so random, but it's actually related to the Monica thing, because in our last episode, we were talking about Monica Lewinsky and like female shame. And just, I was thinking about like, did I have any experiences of that in high school? Because I didn't really like hook up with anyone. I was never like, I wasn't ever headline news. It was like, no one really knew what I did or where I came from. Most people were like, who is this girl? She's in this room for some reason. But one time I was in the library. So funny, but it's also so sad. Like, just know that in the moment of me experiencing it, like, I was actually like heartbroken and devastated. So I was in the library, like, trying to do my schoolwork, and these two boys who were like popular boys in my school were like putting a fart machine under people's chairs.
Awesome.
And I just remember thinking, like, oh, like, it won't get around to this part of the table, because like, I'm never someone that like the boys try to interact with. But they put it under my chair, but I was so awkward that like they didn't. And I just like was frozen. Like I couldn't react.
You couldn't even do anything. Yeah.
So I just like sat there, and then like that made it even funnier to them because I didn't even react. But I was like, I don't know how to react. Like it truly felt like 5 minutes of like pure hell where I was like, I have no clue what to do. Like, do I say something? Like, do what? It just felt like I was frozen. Like there's no right move here. And so I thought back on it and I was like, Devin, you're so embarrassing. Like, why couldn't you have just like laughed at the fart joke? But then I was like, wait, I was just trying to do my fucking schoolwork. And these boys are going around like trying to humiliate women as a joke and be like, you had a bodily function. Oh my God. So I know that's not comparable to being investigated by the FBI.
Yeah, no, I want to know where actually the comparison comes.
Because I'm saying like Monica was humiliated.
Oh my God.
Because I'm saying. Okay, because I'm saying. Noses. Bill Clinton, Clive Owen is playing Bill Clinton with a prosthetic nose. So yeah.
There's connected. A connection. Okay.
And you know who's probably farted once or twice? Good old Bill.
Bill Clinton is such a farter. I don't know why that lines up so crucially. He farts so often.
Wait, you don't think it's sad that these boys put a fart machine under my chair and I was just trying to do my homework?
No, but I...
You don't think that's an origin story for the ages?
I think... Watch Devin repeat this later when we're off mic. Like,
no, Caroline, I was saying this, this one's really gonna like break Carolina's heart. And you're literally like, wait, so how does this apply? And I'm like, I was traumatized.
It's literally a whoopee cushion. You're saying like fart machine as if whoopee cushions haven't been around since like the 1920s.
Okay, so it's a machine and it makes the noise of flatulation. So it's like you don't even have to flatulate because this machine does it for you.
Anyway.
The point is Monica.
And the point is episode one of American Crime Story Impeachment. I just want to say Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson.
Nickelodeon's TV show, all of that. I think she deserves to be a cast member.
Oh.
I think that she, as Linda Tripp, is one of the best comedic performances I've seen in so long. She's just the woman in the office that everyone hates. She acts awful. Like, she always has a grimace on her face.
So, the walk
insane.
Genius. The walk, G-E-N-I-U-S.
The walk is genius. Linda Tripp's daughter came out and basically said, my mom would love this show. My mom would love Sarah Paulson's performance, and she would have been blown away. And it's so nice to see her portrayed in somewhat of a flattering light.
What?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Compared to how she was portrayed in the 90s. Like, this is much better. And I think my mom would have loved the show. And Sarah Paulson is doing a great job. I'm like, okay, then that really cements the idea that Linda Tripp was a fucking monster. If her daughter is like, thank you for this generous
performance. Well, also the previous actor who played her was John Goodman. So I'm sure there's like, the bar is pretty low. They're like, okay, so it's not an obese man playing my mom.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. This is really generous. Thank you. I was so into it. Like, this slice of Linda's life and like this person that we all know, like you said, from our offices, and like, just a narcissist. Like, this is just a female narcissist journey. And it's so fucking good. I mean, I'm sure the next episode will focus on different characters. Clearly, they ended on like showing Bill with his prosthetic nose. So I'm sure like the next episode. And then, like, we talked about Paula. Oh my God. Annalee Ashford as Paula. I just, it's
Annalee
so good.
Ashford as Paula saying the president took out his business.
Yes.
Is. Truly, she's just a so heartbreaking talented. Performance. And Annalee Ashford in an interview was talking about how she even wore Paula Jones's original suit during the press conference
scene.
Because Paula Jones was auctioning off stuff, obviously, maybe to help herself out. And so they bought it off eBay. And that she said all of those press questions were verbatim almost.
Wow.
So these press questions are like, did he touch you? What kind of sex did he have? These guys are
like, why'd you go in there? Like, why is it your fault, basically?
Yeah. And all of these questions that are super intrusive, which I think is such an interesting angle, because I remember my boyfriend at the time, when the Kevin Spacey story broke, that he had sexually harassed all of these young men, some teenagers. There was an interview with one of them, and the interviewer kept on wanting to know exactly what physically happened. And my boyfriend sent it to me, and he was like, isn't this messed up? And we were talking about how it was so voyeuristic, and it was also missing the story.
Right.
Us touching each other isn't what makes this a thing.
Yeah.
What happened was that I was predated on.
Yeah.
And so no one cared about what happened to her. They mm-hmm. cared about
the sex part.
The
and
sex
it wasn't
part.
Even and it wasn't even sexual. Like, they kept asking those questions that were like, did you have sex and was it oral sex and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it was abuse.
Yeah,
it was actually abuse. And that's like, there's a huge difference between that and sex, obviously. And that scene was so heartbreaking.
Well, because this whole thing is about her being humiliated, and she's doing this all for her friggin' husband, which is a really funny detail because he's such a loser.
Yeah.
And he wants a role on Designing Women. But she's just getting embarrassed all over again.
And the whole thing, I fucking loved that phone call detail, that she finds out that the article came out and her first thing is like, oh my God, like, is my husband going to be upset? Like, it's just, she knows she's going to have to control his emotions. And then she's like basically having to take care of him, when it's like, okay, so you're, and then they show these moments where you can see she has PTSD, like when she sees the men in the mask, the Quentin mask. So it's like, this woman is struggling with PTSD. She her violation is being brought back out, but she has to take care of her husband because he feels offended by it.
Right.
And also, by the way, I'm a woman who's been humiliated. When I was in high school, I sat in the library. I was trying to do my homework, and boys put a fart machine under my chair. So when I hear a fart, I have a similar response.
You have a PTSD response.
But I sometimes feel like the men around me, then I have to take care of their emotions if they're offended by the fart.
If they don't like that you farted, you're like, oh, now I have to take care of you when I'm the one who's triggered.
No, I don't mean to take away from it, because I just really, I really loved it. Oh my God. Like, I'm just thinking about it, getting excited again. Just all the moments of Linda when she's sitting at the desk and she says, please don't listen to my conversations. Like, oh, and she ate the potato in the microwave. Oh, just, I can't. Okay, the scene between her and that actress who I love, who I never remember her name, Jane Doe from Grey's Anatomy. Those two, their scene together when Linda's like leaving the office and she's like, that's when you're like, this monster
has been created. And her crux is that nobody knows who she is.
Yes.
That is her Achilles heel. That is why in everything she's like, I was in the West Wing for quite some time and I served under something that was so secretive that it's not even supposed to have a name.
Yeah. And like that is, you're exactly right. It's like we all know that person. And to tell a story about someone everyone knows that hasn't already been told, like that's what's genius about it is like, well, we all already know the details. Like, we're all just going to see stuff we already saw.
No.
But then he makes it about one character.
I loved it. I also thought it was really interesting how much they concentrated on Linda's diet.
Yes.
And those were the diet heavy years.
Yes.
For those Gen Zers and millennials who missed this, Slim Fast was a thing. Weight Watchers was a thing. It was all about, like, contorting yourself. And, you know, listen, diet culture is alive and well. You know, Devin and I are sitting here in our waist trainers drinking flat tummy tea.
Yep.
Promo codes to come. Just kidding. We would never want you to shit your pants for no reason.
Do it no. if you have to, but not for no reason.
But she wants to be seen, you know, and I'm not stigmatizing anyone who wants to lose weight. But I'm saying that Linda's conversation with Beanie Fieldstein.
Yeah.
She's saying, like, you're a knockout. You're a babe.
Yeah.
And they have one beautiful moment of bonding where is the only human part of the episode, I think, for Linda Tripp when she's the kids at school used to call me Gus.
Yeah.
And Monica says, what does that mean? And she says, I don't know.
They never told me. Yeah.
You know,
I loved that. I know that Glee happened. I know that the new season of American Horror Story every year since Roanoke happened. I know that whatever double feature is happening right now, and like this it's like Ryan Murphy does these things that make it hard, but then you see Feud Betty and Joan, then you see Versace, then you see and you just think, oh, this is a masterpiece, this is genius. By the way, Versace and Feud Betty and Joan, please run, do not walk. I am so jealous of you that you haven't seen that and you get to watch it for the first time.
We have to talk about Kacey Musgraves' new star-crossed movie, album, musical. So stay tuned. I want true romance. And we're back with True Romance. Devin, did you watch Kacey Musgraves' star-crossed?
Let me tell you my journey with Kacey Musgraves this week.
Please, go ahead.
You know, I've been all over the place. Been going to a wedding, going on walks, going shopping, going to markets that were featured in the television show The Real World. I mean, I've been doing a lot. So I land from LAX. I'm in my Nissan Rogue with my boyfriend. I remember this piece of information that's so exciting to me, which is that Kacey Musgraves' new album is out and we have a 45-minute drive ahead of us. Cannot wait. Perfect timing. Perfect. Thank you, God. Thank you, spirits. Thank you, whoever the fuck. So we put on the album. And my boyfriend's like, I don't really know who this is. I was like, oh my God. Okay, Kacey Musgraves, love her, love her. She won a Grammy, blah, blah, blah. We put the songs on one after the next. First, I start out by being like, okay, well, this one's not good, but maybe the next one. Like, okay, sorry, this one's not. Next one. Not a single hit.
I know.
Justified. Okay, Justified was the one that I was like, okay, this is good. This is like her old stuff. But then it's like going to the next one, and it's like, don't look at your camera roll. And I'm like, what? Like, is this like a joke song? Like, I love Kacey. She's so cool. But what happened? What's going on? Like, he wants a breadwinner. He's gonna steal your dinner. Like, it sounds like a nursery rhyme, but about like a divorce. It's
so you're literally referencing, and I'm not just saying this, the two points where I thought, oh, this is kind of good. I liked the camera roll lot lyric because it's something I've thought to myself in breakups. Like, I can't look at my camera roll.
Well, there's a lot of stuff I think to myself, but that doesn't mean it should be in a song.
I liked Breadwinner. That's the only song I really liked. Every song sounds the same. The chord progression sounds the same. And it's funny because watching the music video, I just thought this is really poor direction. This is just not working. And all the themes were there. All the fun was there. But listen, we all know this is a poor imitation of Lemonade. This is watered down Lemonade. You're taking a breakup. You're trying to make something of it. You're exploring what happened. And I think there's definitely ways to do that that are cathartic. And there's ways to do that that are just not, like, I got nothing out of this. I did not identify nothing. In one point, except when she told me not to look at my camera roll. And I was like, well, I've been trying to do that and I deleted all the pictures. So I don't know why you're telling me to do that. Meg Stalter's cameo is really the best part. And she should have been in it more. And lastly, the song that she doesn't include in the visual album, which I thought was really interesting, was Breadwinner. And so everyone was talking about Kacey Musgraves lets us really into what happened with her divorce. And I'm like, she didn't even include the song that has the most to say probably about why things didn't work out, which is that he says he's okay with your success. He's actually not.
Okay. But that's the thing too, is like, yes, like I love, like, with all of the songs, I was like, I love the idea behind this. I love the feeling. Like, yes, I love the idea that he wasn't actually okay with her success and all this stuff. But it's like, the thing is that Lemonade took those feelings and made fucking bangers out of them. And like, you can listen, like, whenever though, like if Hold Up comes on, if Sorry comes on, like everybody in the room knows it. Everybody in the room loves it. And it's like so fun to dance to and all this stuff. But
Serena, like, Williams walking into an empty mansion dancing for Beyonce while Beyonce's sitting in a chair while
in black and white
Beyonce sings Sorry is just truly a monster move. It's one of the most incredible pieces of commentary I've ever seen.
Right. And it's like, the reason that I loved Kacey Musgraves in the first place is similar to why first of all, Kacey's aesthetic is very, I love that. Like, I love the glitter. I love the, like, big 50s hair. I love all that.
It's psychedelic, like, pop country.
Yeah. And so, but also her first album, like, the lyrics were so relatable. And, like, that reminded me of Taylor Swift, where it's like she writes these lyrics where you can just say, like, that line was my breakup, that line was my relationship, that line was this, like,
that was the album that got me through my last breakup. I would do yoga and listen to Space Cowboy and Rainbow and Slow Burn. All of that stuff helped me so much. It really was, actually, now thinking back, and I was thinking about Space Cowboy because that was like my song for my breakup. And I remember it was the nicest way to unwind at night. Was I would just do yoga on my floor and listen to that.
It's not happening here. I mean, the genius that Taylor Swift has is that she'll, like, build up. Like, it's like you listen to All Too Well, but you're like, okay, but I know the best part is coming at like minute 4:30, you know, like
she builds up, she gets
you going, and then, like, she'll turn the narrative sometimes, like in All Too Well, when she turns it from I remember it all too well to you remember it all too well and stuff like that. And it's like, you're in there with her. But these songs, it's like, you're losing me. Like, it's not rhyming. It's not catchy. It's not going to get stuck in my fucking head. It's not going to be in my Instagram quotes, because, I mean, I don't do Instagram quotes, but, like, if I could be as basic as I really wanted to be without being made fun of by people, I would, like, put these Taylor Swift quotes in my bio, because it's like, yes, that is, like, my life. Picture myself singing karaoke to this song and my exes are in the room and they hear how I really feel. That is not this. That is not Breadwinner. He's gonna steal your dinner. Like,
she also, it's just all coming off very vague.
Yes.
It's, and listen,
tell the truth.
And I understand, you know, I left my scarf in your sister's house. Like, that's specific, but vague enough that we can all relate to it. You can't just say, like, I used to wear lip gloss when I was in high school, and being an adult is hard.
Right. Oh my God. I hated that song. Okay. So that was trying to be like 15. By Taylor Swift, like, just fuck off. Like, yeah, she was like, oh, I miss when things were simple and I was in middle school. Okay, like, what? How about give me something that I can write an entire fucking blog about, like Kaylor, dissecting the lyrics. Oh, Snowball. Oh, that was when they were walking down the Victoria's Secret runway and the snow was falling. It was fake snow. Oh, Snowball, that's about them. Give me something that I can find some truth in, not, like, lip gloss. It just... I'm no songwriter, I'm no music expert, but Case,
this was a miss,
and we were looking forward to it. We were really excited. All the beautiful Instagram pictures, the rose hues, the bed in the recording studio.
So she says that her inspiration was Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Which she almost shouldn't have said, because once you hear that, I'm like, oh, so this is all a terrible ripoff of Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Even visually, I'm like, this just isn't working for me.
And it's also like, maybe don't put yourself in the same category. Like, I'm not, oh, well, I guess I am doing that because I said that me sitting in a chair with a fart machine under it was the same as Monica being villainized by every white male in America. So
it's hard.
But so, Casey, don't be like me is what I'm trying to say.
We also have to talk about a franchise that, again, you guys, I've been with me in a lot of my firsts in the reality TV
Carolina
genre.
Lost her virginity when we were recording our first episode. You guys just didn't
you
know
you guys
that.
Are with me.
I said, be quiet. It's happening right in front of me.
And I'm like, I said, I can't feel anything.
Quiet. And I said, wait, you can't feel anything? She's like, oh, I can't feel. I'm like, okay, he's doing it wrong.
And I was like, this sucks.
Anyway. You guys have had sex, right? You guys get it. So
we have been watching Bachelor in Paradise together.
What we're trying to say is we've been watching Bachelor in Paradise, and I, like, the world shook this week because Carolina actually texted me and she's like, wait, did you watch Bachelor in Paradise? I'm like, oh my God, I'm on vacation. I haven't watched it yet. But it's like, you're ahead of me now.
This show, this season of this show, I swear to you, I wake up and I think about how many days left I have before the next episode of BIP, as I now call it.
Yes.
Recently, there's been some shakeups. Most notably, Kendall, friend of the pod, showed up at the beach, even though Joe, her former fiance, long-term relationship, met on BIP, is with Serena P, who they are absolutely falling in love, and they actually have something really cute going on. Love. So what was I supposed to do with that? I've been afraid of this. It's been in the teaser trailer this whole time.
We knew it was going to happen.
We knew
our jaws were on the floor.
She kicks
We actually saw video footage of it happening, but yet we were shocked.
Yet I was shocked, and especially when she kicked him with her foot and said, hey, butthead.
Knew you were going to bring that up because...
How could I not?
I had a visceral reaction to that, and also I was thinking about this because I'm like, I have to like drag this person for saying butthead. But then I was like, but she's friend of the pod. You know what? I don't even know that she is friend of the pod because she didn't even share on social media.
She didn't post about
it. She didn't fucking post that she came on the podcast. And it's like, really? Like, no offense, but who are you that you don't feel like you have to do that? Like, whatever. I don't have to go there, but I'm just saying, like, I don't really think of her as a friend of the pod because a true friend cares about supporting other women, as Ramona Singer would say. So she didn't do that. And I was like, wait, you're going to call him fucking butthead? Like, if I'm ever sitting with a man that I am with or that I'm talking to or that put a fart machine under my chair and another girl comes up and says, hey, butthead.
No.
Like, things are not going to be okay. Things will never actually mend from that. Like, things will be broken irreparably and they will never mend because that is a crime against humanity to say, hey, butthead. And then they're having, like, their one-on-one convo and she says, like, you're being kind of a butthead. I'm like, we learn a new term. Like, that's from third grade. You haven't learned something new to say.
As true friend of the pod, Beth Jacobs Cohen would say it's comparable to when girls are posting pictures with their boyfriends on Instagram and posting stuff like, so sick of this goober, hanging out with this loser all day.
Yeah.
I'm like, we all know that you're obsessed with him on hang on every text. You don't have to say, hey, butthead. You literally flew down here to Mexico to be with him.
I also thought it was so funny. Like, it was almost like a boxing fight. Like, all right, Kendall's looking really good in this corner. Okay, like, Serena's looking okay over there. But it's because Kendall's looking really good. And it's like, yeah, you're all fucking beautiful people. You were chosen for a TV show where the point is to just be an attractive person. Like, everyone who comes down is going to be attractive. I don't know. I just like that strikes me as odd. But also, like, then for the rest of the episode, like, it just didn't pop up again. It just was like, she's there now, I guess.
Well, she's not a dummy. She's not really like stirring shit up just to stir shit up. She's really just there. And but then she said, I'm just going to stay, you know, and quote, she does air quotes, you know, find love. I was like, oh my God, you're the ex who's not going to leave the situation while he's obviously trying to explore something. He does have a great, great conversation with Serena when he talks to her.
Yes.
I think,
I mean, I love everything he does. He's all five stars in my book.
There's so many memes of like girl pregnant woman being like, when Joe speaks.
Well, he's just like a stand-up guy and he's older than a lot of the people there. Like, him and Riley are the only ones who talked about how fucked up what Brandon and what Brendan did with Piper was, and how fucked up what Chris did was with Alana, and Jasenia, like, they seem like the two adults in the room who are like, this is actually crazy. Why are you behaving this way? My interpretation is they couldn't have really been truly in love if neither of them would move for the other person. Do you agree? Or do you think there is a situation where you can be truly in love with someone, but just be like, well, we can't be together because, like she said, quote, I will never move for a man. And he said he would never leave Chicago. Both kind of egregious things to say.
It's just one of those things where you think, okay, then you're not ready to have kids, that you're not ready to have kids together. If you're saying stuff like, well, I'm not going to move to LA or I'm not going to move to Chicago. Because at a certain point where it's like, well, we're going to have to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think the more dangerous part to me is not leaving LA.
Yeah.
Because that implies, not to rag on her just because she didn't post a swipe up to listen to her podcast.
Or yes to.
No, I think it has something to do with people generally don't want to leave LA because they're pursuing something in the entertainment industry or because they love living in California. I can absolutely identify with both, obviously. I would love nothing more than for a straight guy who makes his own pasta sauce to look at me and say, move to Chicago with me. I'm going to get you pregnant.
Yeah.
I would be on a plane. You guys, I wouldn't be able to record the podcast. I would be recording it from Chicago. And I would say, sorry, you guys, we missed this week's because I actually am getting pregnant and I'm moving to Chicago to be with grocery store Joe.
Not saying it's something I'm familiar with, but there is a thing where it's like there are LA people who could never cut it in the Midwest or the East Coast. And
when I say cut it, I also think that means like just not be happy. Would be like, I can't be happy because this is lame. This isn't Tinseltown and there's no one cool here.
Right. So I don't know. I'm also like, Serena's so young. I don't know if she's ready. Like,
that's a concern of mine as well. But
we're very concerned for Joe. We want Joe to be happy.
But she wants to get married. She keeps saying that what she wants out of this is an engagement.
Well, don't they all say that? Besides Demi, who's like, I want to go to the boom boom room. Hey, you want to go to the boom boom room?
I love Demi so much. And she had my specific take where when everyone was taking down Chris, literally kicking him off the island for disrespecting Jasenia and obviously being in some sort of arrangement with Alana, Natasha is like, wait, why isn't anyone sticking up for me when Brendan's doing exactly the same thing? And you see Demi's voiceover go as she's eyeing the situation. And she says, I don't know why everyone's giving Chris such a hard time. What Brendan did was the same thing.
Yes.
Brendan did the same thing and it was so much worse. And I just saw her scheming and I've only seen the teaser. Again, when this is released, you guys were going to see even more carnage. And I think the Bachelor producers are going to be kicking Brendan and Piper off, which
I hope so.
Exciting to me because what I love too is that obviously this is a reality TV show, but I love that there's morals involved.
Yes.
People are like, why are they here?
Yes. No.
They are, if they're in a relationship, why are they here? And I believe them. Like Deandra's like, hey, if I had a man at home, I wouldn't be here. I'd be with him.
Yeah.
And I know she's telling the truth.
I know she is too. I know. And I agree with them. And yes, I'm in it with them. But Chris is obviously a goofy piece of shit is how I would describe him, and like it's obvious, like his descriptor of his job is smoke bro and he like refers to himself as a smoke bro. There's no appeal there for me, and I'm not shocked that he acted like a total and complete narcissistic asshole. But I think Brendan is worse because Brendan fronts as the good guy and then he's a total fame hungry piece of shit.
Mean. And listen, so was Chris, but what he said, like Natasha had no prospects. Who would have she had incel, been with?
In two syllables, incel. Okay?
I also was just flabbergasted that he was on camera sitting next to Natasha saying, just some of these guys, they're just holding out till someone they really like gets here. And Natasha says, are you doing that? And he goes, I wouldn't even know how to.
I know. He's a psychopath.
And then he says, can I get you another green drink?
Yeah. No, he's an actual psychopath. And he like completely tries to lie and misdirect the narrative where he's like, we were just kind of like, it was a friendship rose. Like, we've all been gaslit like that. Like, no, we were just friends. Like, I don't know what you thought because we're actually just friends. And then she has the best possible response where she just laughs at him. And he's like, okay. And she's like, oh, sorry. It's just funny. Like, it's actually funny that you're that dumb that you think you can gaslight a grown person who's actually lived a life. And then Jasenia's response also I loved, where Chris comes and tries to talk to her because he's like, someone told him to. Like, Tammy was like, you obviously have to go talk to her. And then he tries to, and just then he was like, oh no, I don't need to speak to you. Like, I don't want to be associated with you.
She also says, which I wish I could gather more. She says, no, you showed me who you were. I don't need to speak to you to find out anything when I know who you are.
Okay.
Oh.
If Jasenia and Natasha were on F-Boy Island, it would be over in the pilot. Like, they'd be like, none of this. Thank you.
Okay. Here's something that I actually heard from Tayshia's podcast, which Bachelorette Windmill posted. So Tayshia A made an Instagram story when the Bachelor in Paradise episode aired, where she is looking into camera and going, it's happening. Brendan basically bailed, even though he was one of the last four, because all of a sudden he said, like, well, I'm not going to get engaged or anything. Like, he realized that he was actually becoming a front runner. So I think Tayshia already had, like, basically called shenanigans on him. Then Natasha is on, or she's a co-host with Tayshia on the Clickbait podcast. And Natasha says that on the island, Brendan was telling her, I'm sorry I'm not opening up to you. It's because I went through a divorce and I'm still traumatized from it. So, because a part of me was like, why is she hanging out with this guy? He's not even kissing her. But when someone is telling you that,
yeah,
you of course believe them.
Right. Because you are a good person. Yeah.
You are a good person and you're patient. And when someone is telling you that they're not lying, you're not an idiot for thinking that they're not lying, unless they're, what's his name, Garrett from F-Boy Island. And, like, then, you know, you got to get your eyes checked.
Okay. Yes to all of that. And can I also just say, Demi, it's like, I'm very confused because it's like, I love her and I am a stan. I do stan Demi Not Lovato on Instagram, stan. But she does have, like, the vibes of that girl in the original Exorcist movie who's, like, a little girl, but she's being like, oh, you fuck bitches, priest, you fuck people, or whatever. Like, that is kind of
that
Demi.
That is Demi.
Like, it's like, she looks, like, exactly like a child, but she's saying, like, you want to go have sex? Okay. Like, and she keeps saying, like, this is paradise. And I'm like, yes, thank you, because we do need someone who's going to, like, fly off the handle. And a few people have said, like, oh no, like, Demi's gonna fly off the handle, and I'm like waiting for it. But when Kenny breaks up with her because he's gonna be with Mari, which I can't tell if I, like, think that Mari is genuine or not, but she is friends with Jasenia and Abigail, and that in my book is like, okay, you have major cred, so I guess I do trust her. But anyway, Kenny tries to talk to Demi and say, like, I think I'm gonna try to pursue things with Mari. And the way she reacts, I cannot relate more, where it's just like word vomit of, like, desperation of, like, okay, well, I'm really fun. Okay, well, she's okay. Well, are you sure you believe her? Like, she didn't even care about you. You know what? She's evil. Okay, we had sex and she's evil. Like, I can't relate more, where it's like, whatever I can say to, like, make this unhappen, please.
She just puts her hair in her face at one point, which actually broke my heart, because I was like, oh, you're about to get really upset. But yeah, it was also totally like a teen girl move.
Yes,
to just cover your face in hair. And she says, like, she's just an evil pageant girl.
Oh yeah, that was such a good line. I forgot about the pageant girl line.
So I brilliant. And it was so funny watching a 40-year-old man be so terrified.
It was like your dad's friend when you're, like, having a panic attack and he's like, oh, okay, oh no, oh, what do we do here? What do we do? Like, he just didn't know.
He's like, I thought we were having fun. He was like, We were.
No. He's like, No, we were. No, I know. I thought that too. No, I'm saying, like, oh no, don't, I'm not in any way trying to say that. Like, just trying to fix the situation, which I honestly respected so much more than Chris's attempt, where he was like, Jasenia, like, you're such an amazing girl. You're beautiful. Like, fuck off. First of all, Chris, like, actually, you're ugly. And I'm, like, not afraid to say that. Like, who are you to step in here? And also, I'm like, anyway, I have too much to say.
Well, but it also is a go-to route, which is what he gave Jasenia, was that, well, I just feel like I wasn't getting back stuff that I was giving. And I feel like that's when everyone was like, you actually have to go. You have to go.
Yeah. And I do appreciate how they're coming for him, but I also agree that they should have come for Brendan just as hard.
It was so funny, though, when everyone's talking about, Jasenia says, do you remember when you told me that you would not hook up with Alana over me? And Alana turns around to the bar and says, "Does anyone want to know what I have to say?" And Riley goes, "Nope, you're good."
Oh my God, I love Riley so much. Like, Riley is the winner in every sense. I also related so much to Marissa when she started, just Senia comes back and is like, "I literally just watched the guy I'm dating like make out with someone in front of me." And then Marissa just starts crying at the possibility that that could happen. Like, I relate so much to that, where she's like, "I'm so stupid. I can't believe I'm like doing this." And they're like, "But wait, nothing's happening."
I know. I really was like, wow, this is actually alcoholism and self-centeredness. And yes. She was just staring at her friend crying and being like, "I couldn't help but think that this could happen to me." I want you. Who would you try to couple up with if you were on the beach right now?
All right. So obviously grocery store Joe, yeah, number one. Obviously Riley number two. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to say number three, Aaron, even though I do kind of get that it's like sort of messed up that he went on a date with the new girl who I'm forgetting her name.
Oh, no, I don't think that was messed
up. Okay, well, I just meant like because he was like technically with Becca. Technically, he was with Beth Jacobs Cohen. No, since he was technically with Becca, but I just thought he was so funny this episode. And like, I just thought he was fun and like, I like him.
I love Aaron. He is one of those people who, if I were to meet him in real life, I would get so starstruck because I have such a crush on him.
Okay. So that's your number one?
That's my number one. Noah, I actually have a really, Noah, really, yes, like more of a crush on. Aaron, I think, is like so hot that I wouldn't even know what to do if I was in the same room as him. Noah, I think, is like the fan favorite. Him and Abigail are so cute. And I just think that he has like a gentleness to him. I love that he's really good friends with girls. But yeah, Aaron really snuck up on me in this episode. I really realized like Tammy let a really good thing go.
Also, the box guy, Jeremy, I think.
The box guy?
The Boston accent. In Katie's season, he showed up in a box. He hasn't coupled up with anyone really. So it's like he's not like, he's easy to forget that he's on the show, but I think he's cute and funny and he has a Boston accent.
I do love a Boston accent.
I think it's Jeremy. I don't even know his name. Sorry. He needs to get with someone so we can know who he is. But it was funny what like Becca said when she put it in simple terms. Like, I mean, yeah, the point of the show is like you get along with someone and you like hit it off with someone or you leave the beach. I was like, oh shit, that is what it is.
Yeah, I thought that Aaron was really cute when he was hitting on Becca.
Yes.
And I don't understand why Tammy would leave that for Thomas, who just has like Playboy vibe.
And he's like not funny. It's just like,
I loved that one of them, one of the guys, I think it was Aaron, was talking about how he always talks about his height. And they just had all these clips of him being like, oh, I got to wash my head. I'm 6'6". Oh my God.
Yes. Yes. That was so funny. Yeah. That is just not my vibe. My vibe is Demi on hands and knees dancing on the floor. And my vibe is also Demi going, yeah, you want to go to the boom boom room?
I love right her now. Going, I'm trying, yeah, to go to the boom boom room tonight. Yeah. She always looks like she's just made out with someone.
True.
And I really, really, really genuinely like that look. And it's actually where I choose makeup is I want to look like someone just made out with me for a while.
Carolina wants to look like the Grey's Anatomy woman in Impeachment who says that Bill Clinton sexually harassed her.
We are kissing.
We're kissing.
The president doesn't know who you are. That's what I'm going to start saying to people.
That was such a good line.
And she just puts down her shit. She's like,
yeah,
that is it. That's my biggest nightmare.
I know. Well, let us end this conversation on something that was really helpful to me, but also hurtful to me this week, which is, as we all may have heard last week's episode, I did come down kind of hard on Carolina for
no good reason,
messing up my tarot cards,
quote unquote, on that.
Okay, quote unquote is fair to say. I said I was upset because Carolina had mixed my major arcana and my minor arcana. Please, people who are listening, understand that I received my first box of tarot cards. And they came separated by major versus minor arcana. So I thought that's just what you do. So I just didn't know any better. But I will say that being proven wrong against Carolina, i.e. like finding out that Carolina was actually right in a situation where like I tried to make fun of her, is one of my least favorite feelings on this planet, second only to having boys put a fart machine under my chair and having me have to just sit there and not frozen. Know what to do, frozen. And so I really hate to admit that I'm wrong to Carolina, but Brian, our editor, who we love, did email us and say that his wife, who is very practiced in this area, concurred with Carolina's view that
it's a deck of tarot cards, not two decks.
You can mix the cards. You can mix the cards. Then I'm like, all right, fine. We can mix the cards, whatever. But so I didn't really think about it. And then I see we have this comment on our Instagram that truly shook me. And I like froze and thought like, what do I do? I don't even know how to like go about fixing this. Like, I'm actually legitimately scared. And if I had boots on, I would be shaking in them, because Our Lady of Drama commented on our Instagram at Devin Hunter Leary, please don't separate your deck like that. The major and minor arcana make a complete set and work together. Sometimes we pull the major arcana for a specific reading, but absolutely do not keep them consistently separate. Bring them together and do an energy cleanse on the decks. Yeah. So clearly I'm in a crisis situation. If anyone at all knows how to do an energy cleanse on my deck, clearly a lot of people have opinions about how I handle my deck. So if you have thoughts on how to energy cleanse them, I don't really know. And I really need to do that because I'm using these cards to tell me what my future is. No pressure.
Speaking of which, we should do a read right now.
Should we?
Yeah.
But do you want to do it on the pod?
No, it's for private.
Okay, for private.
Okay. Speaking of which, we're going to do a reading for Carolina, myself, right now to find out the future of my love life. So till then,
let's go to the boom boom room.
I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.